Hello, and welcome to the Honest Hour podcast. I am Christina Mazurek, your host, and I believe that to be honest is to try to convince someone of your discovered truth of something. Your honesty is your work, your story, your relationships, and your worldview. The Honest Hour podcast is a collective voice of global influences. It is through honest conversations out loud that we can rise together through a more diverse understanding of the world. This is your honesty. Enjoy today's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to the Honest Hour podcast. If it's your first time here today, welcome. I'm so glad to have you. In today's conversation, I chat with founder of Campfire Conversations, Nicolette. Campfire is a philosophy, a practice, and a structure rooted in holding space, vulnerability, non-judgmental awareness, and self-processing. These conversations take place among groups of around five people, and these engagements are governed by four central pillars, which we got all into today. I was so fascinated by this conversation with Nicolette because I truly believe that society needs more authentic conversation, and that the reason why we're not having it is because we are afraid of judgment and the threat of disconnection. I think all of us can learn a little bit more about the blueprint that we need to be vulnerable so that we can learn how to listen to others and share more openly ourselves. In this chat today, we discuss how when you are in a safe situation with like-minded people who are willing to listen without judgment, you allow yourself the opportunity and the gift to process your emotions out loud. You see, if you don't allow yourself to get vulnerable, you never get the opportunity to process the trauma you've endured or the struggles you're having. And if you don't process that trauma or those struggles, it can manifest into illness or dis-ease in your life and in your body. I absolutely love the concept that Nicolette is bringing to South Africa. I think it's very needed, and I think you will all love this conversation today. At the end of the podcast, I tell you all about where you can find Nicolette and sign up for your own campfire conversation, whether it's with your friends, with family members, in your marriage, or in the workplace. Authentic conversations out loud is how we can rise together. Thanks, guys. Enjoy this episode. Good morning, Nicolette. How are you doing today?
Hi, Christina. I'm exceptionally well. How are you?
I'm great. I love how you said exceptionally well. That's a great way to answer it. I love that. I might use that.
if you're healthy, then I think nothing short of exceptionally well is a good answer.
Especially in the times that we are in. We're recording in December 2020, which is now we're entering the second big wave of COVID-19 in South Africa. So exceptionally well could be a good answer in this year.
Absolutely. For all of us that have survived.
Absolutely. Well, it looks like you are not only surviving, but you are thriving. You have an amazing business that you started, Campfire Conversations. Can you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what's not in your bio? Tell us about your business.
Okay. Well, actually, I am a speech therapist. So I got my speech therapy degree and went into private practice after I graduated. And that has been my core business for the last 24 years. But Campfire Conversations has been an idea in my head for quite a long time. And just this year, I had an awesome friend who's in marketing who said to me, we've got to get this idea out there because everybody that I spoke to thought it was a good idea. And I just, not knowing how to put it out there, needed some help. But really what happened probably towards the middle of last year, I am really fortunate that I have several really lovely women in my life, supportive women who really listen when you talk, and we just have really good quality conversations. And I was having one with one of them one evening, and I just said to her, you know, we honestly need a campfire in front of us. You know, the days where you would just sit around the campfire and people would talk. There's something different about a conversation that happens around a campfire. I think it's because you're not necessarily looking at anybody, but you're all looking at the campfire. And that's just how the name got there in terms of campfire conversations and going, what is it that makes our conversation so meaningful? Because we don't just talk about things. We end up processing whatever it is that we're sitting with at that time, right? Mm. Whether it's finances we're battling with or the end of a marriage or health issues, whatever it might be. And I started looking at that and going, two things first of all, just women supporting women. So often, you know, women get together and talk at the drop of a hat. It's what we do because we're so verbal. But so often you walk away from that conversation not feeling like you were actually heard.
Right.
We tend to interrupt each other a lot. We tend to give advice really quickly. And just having somebody hold space for you. So holding space is when the person listening to you is completely present, but they don't interrupt you. And they just let you speak. And the more you speak, the more you get to process whatever it is that you're dealing with. So you can campfire any conversation, right? So you can campfire a conversation that you're having with your partner in terms of checking in with each other and seeing where you're at. And a whole lot of things apply to that, like not taking things personally, not assuming. And I have a phenomenal partner that's taught me how to do that. So that's really important. Then just in families, especially these days, because families don't spend a lot of time actually talking to each other. We are generally on devices in separate rooms, and that old, almost, I want to say, that old fashioned sitting around the table and having conversation. And even arguing, you know, Google has taken away a really good argument because somebody disagrees with you, they just Google it and then you've got the information and there goes the whole conversation. So my idea initially was just how do I get other women to a place where they can experience these amazing conversations that I'm experiencing? So the initial idea was allowing women to support women. But it's just so applicable everywhere else. Friendships, whether they are male or female, even corporates, even in the workspace where you are feeling like you're not being heard. How do you get people into the same room and hold space enough for them to feel that they can be vulnerable because they feel safe? So this is a very safe space that you're creating because so often we don't say things because we don't feel safe. And that lack of safety comes from feeling judged. So I know, for decades, I didn't confide in my friends purely out of the fear of being judged. There was so much going on. I was, you know, I had a 23-year marriage. I got divorced. I should have been speaking to a lot more people.
Yes.
Time and getting support for what I was going through, but I was just so scared of being judged that it was easier for me to keep quiet and pretend everything's okay. And it's just so unhealthy.
It is. Yeah, I feel like this is needed, as you say, and I like the dub campfire conversations because as you were explaining it, I literally thought about how many amazing deep conversations I've had with my own husband around the braai.
Yes.
And that's what I've loved. This is like the first thing I so embraced and adopted about the South African culture because I'm American, is just that need to have a braai. Like even if we have made an oven roast chicken, we will go sit outside around a fire.
Yes.
Just for the comfort. And there is something strong and relaxing about having that fire lit and sitting around the fire. It's like almost this gnome or therapist in the middle that says, this is a safe place. Like, because it does allow you to set aside your nervous energy and the need for small talk and allow you to ease into the deeper conversations that have the ability to connect us. Because like what you were explaining there, how you went through something so personal and so devastating in your life, which should have been the breeding ground for deeper conversation with your friends and more connectivity in your community actually had you have this massive fear of judgment and the threat of disconnection because people will alienate or judge or push aside other you. And really, that should be when we're all connecting more, because all of us have that same fear and the threat of disconnection. And the other thing that this campfire conversations reminds me of, and it was sort of one of the catalysts for me wanting to start a podcast around people's deeper truths, is I did a creative writing course a couple of years ago. And it was only because I have an interest in writing. I didn't realize that it would literally become the ground for my own personal healing, because it asked, like, led me to have the deeper questions and to see that I'm not the only one having those deeper questions, that I'm surrounded by a bunch of strangers in a room. And it was playing on our senses. It was very Julia Cameron, the artist's way method of kind of getting you to walk through your emotions and your traumas. It was supposed to be for writing, but in that room, I forged the most amazing conversations I've ever had in my life. And it was with complete strangers. And that was where I started to think, you know, whenever I meet a new person or I see someone in the hustle and bustle of the grocery store or in traffic, that every single person around me is struggling with something or celebrating something, and that we all have a very similar journey in life, and that I don't want to have small conversations anymore. I want to have big conversations, and I want to hold a space for people. The campfire conversations is pretty much a philosophy and a practice, right? And holding space and having allowing vulnerability.
Absolutely.
There are four pillars, I believe. So tell me about these pillars.
So the four pillars are really important if you want to take that smaller conversation, that's more small talk, and make it bigger and more meaningful. And the first pillar is about holding space. And holding space is, it's a choice, and it really has to be practiced because it doesn't come easily. It's not something that we are used to doing. And it's really about truly listening. And active listening is quite exhausting, especially because our world is so visual. Most of our communication is visual. You know, we don't often actually pick up the phone and have a voice-to-voice conversation. We are reading emails and texts and all the time. So listening is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised. But when you actively listen and you hold space for somebody, you put their need for them to tell their story above your own need to respond. And when you realize that you have no need to give advice or to have an answer, it's a whole lot easier to let go and just listen. But you have to listen actively. And what is so lovely about a campfire conversation situation is that you know that you are going to have the time to tell your story. So if I'm feeling like there's not going to be enough time for me, then often I don't listen properly. But when I know you're all going to turn around and listen to me when it's my time, I can relax and I can really listen to you.
Hey guys, let's take a short break from this episode. I want to thank you so much for listening to the Honest Hour podcast. If you're a longtime listener, you will know I started this podcast as a way of healing out loud. Over time, I started sharing conversations that I was having with other people who also shared their personal stories of healing and helping others. This podcast is 100% free to listen to on all listening platforms. So all I ask of you is this: if you love it, if you're enjoying and growing from what you're listening to, please show us your support by following the show on your listening app. If you can, leave us a review. And if you would like, share it with your friends. If you're on Instagram, give us a shout with your favorite episode. Our handle is The Honest Hour Podcast. Thank you again, dear listener, and enjoy the rest of this episode.
So that whole space is the very first pillar, because it's only when space is held and somebody gets to tell their story that they actually get to process. And our biggest need as humans is to have connection. And that connection is about being seen and being heard. And that's such a big complaint from so many people, either in their relationships, personal relationships, in marriages and partnerships, but also in friendships, right, is I just don't feel seen. I don't feel heard, because you'll start saying something and somebody will talk over you. And in holding space, yes, people just don't, you know, you kind of nod, but you don't jump in and offer anything. So that's the first pillar. The second pillar is about vulnerability. And vulnerability is a whole big topic on its own, but we tend to view vulnerability as something negative, as a weakness. You know, we'll use it in that sense of like, if I'm vulnerable, then I'm exposed. And it is that. But when you're feeling safe and you get vulnerable, then it's a fantastic place to be in. And we like to see vulnerability in other people. Mm. We see it as a strength in other people, but we view it as a weakness in ourselves. So when somebody holds space, it allows you to be brave enough to be vulnerable, because I think vulnerability takes bravery, right? You're putting yourself out there, but it's a positive strength. And when you're vulnerable, that's when you start to get to process your stuff. Right? Because if you're not vulnerable, then you're sitting at that superficial small talk level, right? And not really saying what's genuinely going on with you. So that's really important, because once you become vulnerable, you get to process. The third pillar is about being non-judgmentally aware. So you start your conversation from a place of, I'm not here to judge. I have no right to judge. I'm going to hold the space for you. This is your journey, your process. I'm walking alongside you. I'm not pushing or pulling. And I am going to be very vigilant that whatever verbal input I do give is not of judgment. It's going to be more of reflection. So if somebody does stop talking and you want to make them feel heard, it would be, your words will be more along the lines of, I've heard you say that this is a big struggle for you.
Yes.
As opposed to being dismissive or, oh, it's not really as bad as you think, or all of those things that are judgmental. And when you know other people are holding space for you in a non-judgmental way, you can get vulnerable really quickly, which means you get to process.
Absolutely.
And for me, when you process, that's when you can let go. And it's the let going of things you're sitting with that is the most powerful, right? Because holding on and not processing and not letting go will literally manifest in our bodies, and we end up literally getting sick. The fourth pillar is of self-processing and just knowing that you need to look inwards. So also often what we'll do is, we'll talk because we're looking for the answer from somebody else, or the confirmation, or the approval. And actually, it's not about that. The only way you process stuff is when you come to your own conclusions about that. So another part of Campfire for me was, because one of my friends is much younger than me. She's old enough to be my daughter. But I just thought that passing down of almost wisdom from your elders, that just doesn't happen anymore, you know? And it's a people, very seldom do we take people's advice. You know, you don't know it hurts until you hit your own head against the wall. But just knowing and having women who are a decade or two or three ahead of you, and that knowledge that you are rowing in the same boat can be extremely comforting. So that was another thing of how do we as women who are getting older or are already old pass all of that down? And surely a campfire conversation would facilitate that. where young girls who are struggling with stuff in their 20s can get advice from women in their 40s or 50s or go, this is okay, this is normal, and get a sense of I'm okay, because somewhere theoretically we understand that other people are going through it, but actually in our hearts and our minds we always feel like we're the only one struggling with whatever it might be. So the fourth pillar.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The fourth pillar of going inwards is to know that it's your responsibility to process this. Your campfire conversation buddies are there to hold that space for you, but you need to do the work. And it's just beautiful when that happens, when you sit and you have the conversation and you just see that aha moment where the drops and somebody goes, okay, got it. Now I can see what I need to do or what I need to let go of. And those are beautiful moments to witness or to experience when you're having this kind of conversation.
It reminds me, the whole methodology reminds me so much of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought to myself, I'm someone who's gone to therapy consistently for the last 6 years, and I will tell everyone to do it. It's so amazing. And it's exactly the way it works is exactly how you've just described campfire conversations, except for in therapy, you're also seeing a psychological professional, mm-hmm. professional of psychiatry or psychology.
Yes.
Which is great, but I don't think it has to be necessary. I've had these wonderful healing conversations with friends and also with strangers as well. Mm. Because as you say, if you're in an environment or you're put into a situation where you feel safe to find the courage to be vulnerable and you know that there are people listening actively without judging you, they literally haven't even done anything, but they get to see the penny drop. And I saw this happen for myself recently when I went away with a couple of new friends, and they are older than me as well. So I thought that was incredible too, as you were talking about the older generation being able to pass wisdom on to the younger ones, especially in female circles, because we do have that tendency to compare and to judge and to think of our response while the other person's speaking or to take their experiences personally. But what I have realized with my older female counterparts is that they have a little bit more patience,
mm-hmm.
and they also have this like resting wisdom, and they look at me with this smile on their face like, okay, honey, we know what you're going through.
Yes.
We went through that too. You'll get to the other side. And they have no urgency to fix it or to tell me the path that's going to get me to happiness sooner. They just say, you know, you just do your journey. And I was sharing so much with a few friends this past week, and they got to see my penny drop. But because I was able to process out loud and figure out the healthy solution for myself or where I was in my own way, I embraced the answer. It wasn't that someone gave it to me because they were frustrated with my own idiocy or, you know, it was just like, oh, I figured it out for myself. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to make this decision. And I didn't feel judged. And it's the same thing in therapy. I mean, everyone I know who goes to therapy too sometimes says, I don't know what I'm paying for. I just go there and blab the whole time. And the person doesn't tell me like what I should be doing.
Exactly.
And it's because that's the purpose of therapy, is that you do get to a place of being vulnerable enough to process out loud so that you can figure out the right answer. Absolutely. Without having any shame. It's just your human experience.
Yes. And that's also why often it's easier to talk to a stranger than it is to somebody who knows you pretty well, just because you feel less judged by a stranger because they don't know you from a bar of soap. And if it's a kind of stranger you think you're never going to see again, that's even better.
Yes.
So, I mean, I have had
my best chats on airplanes with absolute strangers.
There you go.
Like any of my friends listening to this, my family members, they will tell you that that is the truth.
Yes. Absolutely, because you know that it's temporary, that you're going to walk away from it, and there are no long-term consequences to whatever you've said. So this is trying to create that space, but with people who are close to you. And I've also done traditional talk therapy, right? Cognitive behavioral therapy. And absolutely, yes, it has its place. And this is not therapy in that sense, but it's like, I also know generally, and I'm generalizing, lots of men aren't comfortable going to see a psychologist in terms of couples therapy, right?
Totally.
But if they can sit and have these kinds of conversations, they'll get their relationships into a healthier place. And also, especially after the year we've just had, I think a whole lot of stuff that a lot of us have been trying to sweep under the carpets has just been exposed. And just there's a financial consideration to going and seeing a therapist regularly. Whereas if you have some people you know that you can have these kinds of conversations with, it's such a lovely platform to be able to help yourself a little bit more than you are without necessarily going and seeing a professional. But it's certainly not in place of it. It's just, how do you add to it, if that makes sense?
Absolutely. So you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that this was sort of instigated by your desire to see more of women supporting women. So are campfire conversations only for groups of women?
No. So we have various areas in which it can work. We've started, just because we only launched at the end of October, we've started with groups of women, but we have campfire families. So how do you teach a family to learn the four pillars and then use them in really meaningful conversations? Then we have campfire friendships. So your group of friends doesn't have to be all women. It can be a mixture of men and women.
And yes,
I think that's almost one of the most important places to have it, because men and women talk so differently.
Yes.
Joke always and say men are from Mars, right? But we really, really do. The way we talk, the way we interject, everything about the way we talk and use our language is very different. And if you can get men and women on, not onto the same page, but understanding each other. Something I do learn is that a lot of men, first of all, men and women are just wired differently. So men find it more difficult to talk. They have less words literally in a day than a woman. So when you get home and your husband just gives you a grunt, it's because he's used up all his words. And even the understanding that they have less words just makes it easier not to take.
Absolutely.
Right. So campfire conversations in terms of partnerships or friendships that are not same-sex friendships is a lot about, don't take this personally. My partner and I often will say to each other, this is not about you. And that's done in a really nice way. It's not going, this is not about you, leave me alone. This is not your stuff. This is my stuff. And I need to deal with it. Right? And then not assuming. So often the fights we end up having and the disagreements and things we get upset about is because we've assumed something instead of just actually checking in with each other and just checking in on the question and going, you seem to be a bit grumpy today. Have I said or done anything? And then explain, as opposed to assuming it's you. And then a whole lot of stuff happens in your head instead of actually just having the conversation. That's really important. And then campfire corporate. So much of the corporate space,
oh, lovely,
is going back to HR is now becoming heart relationship officers, right? When you have a minister of happiness, literally Dubai has a minister of happiness, and you're looking at how are we making the workplace far more meaningful. The old regimented, show up to the office, work your 8 hours, this is your boss, and doing that. I mean, just this year, in terms of people not working in an office, we know we can almost work anywhere. Very few jobs are reliant on being physically in a particular space. But where's the conversation in terms of, I need to say something that's important, but I need to be heard, and I need not to be judged. And don't take this personally. You know, I don't come from a corporate background at all. So this would be foreign to me, but I'm excited about the fact that if we can start having more open, honest conversations where workers, bosses, whatever it might be, colleagues can just be vulnerable with each other. And what gets said in that conversation stays in that conversation, but it's going to take time and it's going to take practice.
Absolutely. I mean, especially like the corporate environment, I would imagine, is the furthest thing from real connection, because you have that threat of losing your job if you admit that you might be struggling with something.
Exactly.
So it's the last place anyone wants to be vulnerable. But I do see a shift in that needing to change, especially internationally. I'll send you the link after our conversation, but I interviewed someone on this podcast who authored a book this year about the empathy gap. Her name is Mimi Nicklin, and she spoke about the lack of empathy in the corporate world and how it's impacting the way industries are changing. And we're seeing some of the most clever, hardworking, industrious people leaving the workforce and starting off on their own because of the lack of empathy at work.
Absolutely. And the lack of safety. So I don't know if you listen to any of Simon Sinek's stuff and him just going, you know, leaders should eat last. The workspace should be a very safe space. He does the most amazing talks on that kind of thing and going, you know what you do at work, but you need to know why you do it.
Right.
So what is your why? And when a company sells a why, that's when everybody is happy.
Yes.
And yeah.
You can be all connected to the same bottom line.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you have complete buy-in from your workers and they do their job the way they're supposed to. But when you're not feeling safe and you don't feel like you have any empathy from a boss or colleagues, depending on your situation, it's not a nice place to be in. And we spend far too many hours at work not to have that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Most of our life is spent at work.
Yes.
So I think you're in Johannesburg, right?
I am, yes.
So I'm in Cape Town. If I wanted to book a campfire conversation for a group of girlfriends, how do I organize this?
That would best be done over like Zoom or a Google Meet, but initially it would need to be with video as well. And that would be me facilitating. So what you want to do, first of all, is be in an intimate environment, right? So you don't really want to be out at a restaurant or anywhere too public, just in somebody's lounge or on their veranda or wherever would be in somebody's own personal home. It helps to create that feeling a lot quicker than if it's more public. And then for me to come in and kind of what I've done now is go through – what does it mean to have a campfire conversation? What are the pillars? How do you practice it? And the meetings that we've had up in Joburg personally, some of the ladies have known each other, but some of them have been complete strangers. So it can be quite an artificial situation, but we've just come up with some questions that are not too cheesy, but would also create some kind of conversation. So not yes, no questions. If you've got two or three of your friends with you and you chat and you have pretty meaningful conversations already, it would probably be quite easy for you just to start a normal conversation. If you're wanting to bring in...
And when you have these conversations... Yeah, sorry.
No.
The line wasn't working properly. I think I spoke over you. Go ahead.
No, so I was saying, and if you want to bring in... can you hear me?
I can. It seems like you're going in and out a little bit.
Okay.
Try again.
Just let me know. Is that better?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you were wanting to bring in one or two ladies that are not necessarily very close friends, the questions are a really nice place to start because they just start conversation. And then generally, most women are quite easy to go from there. And what then I would do would just be to facilitate that conversation in terms of if somebody starts to interrupt or say something that would be classified as judgmental, is just to gently say to them, remember, we're holding space. Remember, we're trying not to judge. And from the beginning, just to say to everybody, don't take those reminders personally. This is something you've chosen to experience. The only way you get to experience it is if you try and uphold those pillars. And it's tough.
Right.
It's tough. It's not going to take one conversation. It's going to take quite a few. And you, there's often just that one person who, if you give them the space, will talk the whole evening. And that's just about saying, right, we've got other people in the room. Thank you very much for sharing, but we're going to pass on. So not an easy thing to do because you're kind of putting people in their place. But it's if everybody starts the conversation knowing that that's what they're there for and that's what they need to practice, it really works extremely well.
I'm reading – this is just so fascinating. And I'm thinking about so many different – intricacies in friendships and relationships that I have in my life where I just think, oh my goodness, if only this type of, if this approach could happen for us. And I'm thinking of the people that struggle to listen.
Yes.
And I'm thinking of the people that struggle to be vulnerable and the ones who everything they say comes across as a judgment.
Right.
And the ones who are constantly looking for approval with the small talk and the not being vulnerable. And how we could just improve our lives so much if we all went to one campfire conversation and just learned to adopt this blueprint for communication.
Yes. Yes. It's not easy, but I think if you have somebody – so I have two friends that my campfire conversation started with. The one is a, well, the one is a psychologist and the other one is an art therapist. So really good background. But
wow,
when you just have one person, and five seems to be a really good number in terms of not having more than five people, right? Because you all want the time to tell your story. So this is not something where you can gather 20 people and unless you're going to do an entire day.
That'll be difficult and draining.
Yeah. So if you're looking at a 2 or 2.5 hour, you know, in the evening or a Saturday morning, five is a really good number. If you just have one person with a really good understanding of what it takes to have a campfire conversation, it really does ignite something in everybody else. And they get this feeling of, oh, wow, I have four other, and especially with women, I've got four other women just sitting, listening to me. Some women find that difficult because it's like the spotlight is on them. So they feel very, oh, okay. But most people really like it because you're being seen and you're being heard. And that is something that we all long for. So also what needs to be respected is if somebody doesn't want to share too much, then that's also their right. It's not about you have to speak. It's more about not speaking too much. But you know what it's like? Every now and again, you might just have an evening where you're going, you know what? I'm quite happy to sit and listen and journey alongside the rest of you, but I'm okay this evening not to speak. So nobody ever needs to feel like they have to, you know, speak or have a big moment or whatever it might be as well. That's also important.
Well, I think as you say, just learning to listen actively, truly listen and practice that muscle can be a healing process for yourself in and of itself.
Yes.
By listening to another, like if you see someone else's penny drop or if you're in a campfire conversation with a group of people you know really well and you hear someone share and become vulnerable, you might recognize how that person has previously made you feel triggered actually had nothing to do with you at all.
Exactly.
And that can be really healing. And yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I love about therapy. So I wanted to ask you, as a speech therapist, obviously this is not what you have worked in your whole life, but it was something that you saw a great need for, especially from your own personal experience of going through trauma and learning to heal from that yourself and the power of authentic conversation.
Yes.
But did you design this method and come up with these four pillars, or did you have help?
Oh, I definitely had help. So I just had this idea floating around in my head last year. I was just like, how, and I journal a lot as well. And part of my journaling was just my why statement and also how do I get this out there? And I truly believe the energy you put out, right? What you focus on will expand. And you know Cole, you've been dealing with Cole.
Yes.
She is the most incredible young lady. And we were just friends because we live really close to each other. And I started telling her about this idea and what we were doing because we had, towards the end of last year, started, if I could use the word, formalizing campfire at my house every second week. So
amazing.
My two friends, and then I had invited somebody else and said, come and experience it. And she came, then she didn't, and she came again, then she didn't, and she kind of kept coming. And that's also not to be taken personally. This is not for everybody. But really the philosophy is also to come and experience campfire and then take it away to your tribe, right? Because it needs amazing. To be kept small. So, and I just wasn't sure. I did not know how to get it out there. And the one day Cole and I were having coffee and I chatted to her and she went, okay, our next coffee is going to be a business meeting and this is how you need to get it out there. So the universe answered me and went, here is somebody who their speciality is marketing. And we just started like you do at the beginning of any business, looking for what name do you want? What is your logo? What colors do you want?
Put
it together. And just for me, unpacking what campfire meant to me was then realizing, you know what? And it felt a little bit unnatural to me. It's a bit like trying to tell somebody how you learned how to speak. That's right. You just learned it. And I had to kind of then go backwards and go, how do I unpack campfire so that it makes sense to everybody else? And she just, we've spent a lot of time together just putting it together so that it's marketable and reachable for other people. And then, for me, I've never taken something that has felt like an original idea to me and actually have it out there. You know, it's been the most incredible journey personally for me. My biggest joy would be if it impacts one person positively. That's absolutely phenomenal.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a good book idea for your business. You could do like campfire conversations for the soul, like chicken soup for the soul.
Yes. Absolutely.
And it would be so amazing to share the different testimonies of people that are willing to share with the world, of course, their experience with the campfire conversation and just talking about the healing that took place and the connection that happened after having these guided, authentic chats.
I love that.
And listening platforms.
Awesome, Mandia. I don't know that I
will. I love hearing those stories. I just love it because it's true. Like the problem with most relationships and with most people's misery or inability to be vulnerable or authentic is that they want to feel seen and heard and they cannot find a place that they feel safe enough to experience that.
Exactly.
Well, I think your business came at the right time and I'm so excited about it and I'm grateful that I could chat with you today on this platform and to share it with my community. For our listeners, can you tell everyone where they can find out more and possibly participate in a campfire conversation themselves?
Absolutely. So our website is www.mycampfire.org. And then we're on Instagram at my_campfire. And I'm also quite fine if they wanted to email me directly. It's N for Nikki, LOW at mweb.co.za. And people can get in touch through those three places. And this is also a very fluid business at the moment. Just in terms of how we set things up and how we run it. So I'm extremely open to ideas of could it look like this or could it be here or whatever it might be, that would be most welcomed. And thank you, Christina, so much. This has been a delight to to chat with you and get campfire conversations out there a bit more. And yeah, my energy out there is just that it will grow and that people will grow from it.
I have no doubt, and I'm so excited about it. And I will put all of the links that you mentioned, as well as your email address, in the overview of this podcast.
Okay, perfect.
And I'll send you all the links as well.
Lovely. I'd appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nicolette. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Honest Hour podcast. I hope this recording inspired you to live in your honest truth, and I encourage you, if you enjoyed the episode, to subscribe and to rate the podcast. If you would like to connect with me online, I would love to hear from you. I'm on Instagram at The Honest Hour Podcast, and my website is christinamazarek.co.za. Thank you and have a beautiful day.